And we're going down south. Nathan Mueller from Dodge County, University of Nebraska, cropping system specialist. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning. Yeah, it's another warm morning down here in eastern Nebraska. So
we haven't talked to you for a while. When you're talking warm, what are you talking for temperatures?
Yeah, we've been running around right around 90 degrees for for at least past couple days. So the corn and soybeans over the past week and a half have really sped up in maturity to the point where we had green beans 10 days ago, and a lot of the leaves have fallen off, and actually people have just got it started harvesting over the weekend here.
Now, you're talking about bean harvest. Anybody doing it, looking at any corn, or is the corn getting about the same way?
No, there's also some I wouldn't say high-moisture corn, but, corn that guys are going to have to dry in the bin that has already started as well. Mm-hmm. So that's more a little bit to the south and west of where I'm located, but it's really picking up across the area, and so this warm, dry weather is going to be conducive to, early harvest here this year.
Yeah, we're hitting a cold spell right now, cool spell, 50 at night and in the 60s during the day. How's the beans look? They started harvesting those, some of the earlier beans, or just some that got in early?
Yeah. I just saw a few screenshots of people's from the cab, and it looks like, I just saw some 70s and 80s across the screen. I did a yield estimate on my own field and was kind of, rain-fed around maybe around upper 60s, low 70s. So that's kind of what I'm expecting, and I think we look at the statewide yield estimates that USDA gave the other week for corn and soybeans. I believe it was 62 for soybeans and 198 for corn. So those are both, if we realize both of those will both be record yields for the state of Nebraska.
So we're looking at those yields that they're anticipating, probably with Nebraska going to be holding right up in there then.
Yeah. So I haven't heard any early corn yields, but I think this, most guys I've talked to on soybeans, I think with the pod count that we had this year, I guess we'll see what seed size ends up being when that affects yield, but I guess guys are expecting above average yields for both rain fed for corn and soybeans in the area this year.
Did you have a good moisture throughout the year?
We did. We had actually too much moisture in June, so we did have a little bit of some nitrogen loss and probably a little bit of yield impacted from short of nitrogen on corn. Then we did have a dry period end of July, beginning of August, and then since middle of August through beginning of September, we've had plenty of moisture again. So any of those full season beans had plenty of moisture to finish out. So overall, I think most guys ran in that kind of end of July, middle of August around here, maybe only ran the pivot once or twice. That's it for the whole year for guys that had irrigation.
That doesn't hardly even pay to turn it on then, did it?
Yeah, in retrospect, it may have helped us a little bit, but I don't expect to see big differences, obviously, especially on soybeans, between rain-fed and irrigated yields. I would expect to be fairly similar this year.
Now, they were finding some, midge gall or gall midge or up here
in
the beans?
Yeah, so the new name, I talked to our entomologist, Justin McMeckin, who's looking at the orange gall midge. He corrected me, it's the soybean gall midge now,
okay.
So I will try to get everybody on the same page, including me. That was a big issue. We're probably probably have some of the biggest issues similar to Iowa. I know South Dakota as well, but pretty much 3 to 4 counties in all along the Missouri River from Kansas up to South Dakota, we've identified the soybean gall midge. And I've been in some fields around here north of Omaha where the damage wasn't just on the 30, 60-foot end rows. It went, several hundred feet out into the field. So it did impact yield quite a bit in certain fields. So it's something that I know they've put a proposal into the soybean board here in Nebraska to look at that more next year. Hopefully it's not an issue next year. This isn't a new reoccurring insect, but it's definitely one that's been intermittent we've seen in the past, but never to this extent. So it's definitely something we'll be talking about at winter meetings.
Is this something that is going to overwinter here, or does it have to be blown in?
Yeah, I believe it's more like kind of Hessian fly. It's going to be in the area already from what I gather. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not.
So it's just one of those.
The main thing is where they're trying to figure out where is it, they think that there's some association with, brome grass, treed areas that tend to be where we've seen more of the damage versus big open areas where there's no, field after field of soybeans and corn and not a lot of non-cropland in the area. We've seen a little less issues. So I think they'll learn more over the next year or two. And I know Iowa State and the regional entomologists are talking to each other about this issue as well. So I think we'll learn a lot, hopefully with some more research coming.
Well, you know, we got kind of excited about the Hessian fly, and it never really turned to be a major problem. But
no.
Hopefully this will end up the same way. We don't need any more problems in our grains and crops, do we?
Yeah, another one that we had up this area is the Dectes stem borer, which, you know, is in now moving north and east in Nebraska. It's traditionally been in kind of just south-central Nebraska, and that has been spreading north and east in Nebraska. So that was something that was identified a lot more this year, I think, because guys were looking for the soybean gall midge, and they happened to find Dectes stem borer, which bores through the center of the stem down to the base, and then if we get a wind event here this time of year, they can break off at the ground. So two emerging insects or spreading insects that we'll definitely need to be watching, and they're just tough ones to manage, and so that's a little bit troublesome.
Any of the seed treatments last long enough for them, or isn't that going to affect them?
Yeah, haven't heard anything on that side. I know that people have looked at, you know, foliar spraying for those two particular insects, but that once they're in the stem, they're hard to get, and trying to time it right when they're in the adult phase and entering the plant is really hard. So, you know, we'll have to see, you know,
kinda
hopefully private
miss.
Industry and universities can partner together and look at this from both the management side and the genetic side moving forward on both of these insects.
Well, we're looking at the markets, and I guess you do some winter wheat down there. Are you hearing more wheat possibility of going in and less soybeans?
Yeah. Obviously, with a depressed soybean price, I penciled it out yesterday. I'm actually going to put some wheat in myself. And with the low soybean prices, it's probably the best wheat has looked cash flow-wise compared to soybeans in quite a while. So I think as a result of that, and then also growers interested in soil health more and more over the past couple of years and doing cover crops, a lot of guys are saying, well, why don't I just plant a winter wheat cash crop instead of a cover crop? So I have got quite a few calls over the past month from guys in east central Nebraska interested in putting wheat in either for the first time or haven't done it for a number of years. So I think we'll see a little bit more this fall than we have the past couple, but we're still, when you talk about wheat acres, we're a pretty small player in total wheat acres here in east central Nebraska. So it's not going to be a huge increase in acres, but regionally it will be significant.
Well, it'd be nice to get that rotation moved around again, pushing that, but it's kind of hard when you had the price of beans and corn way above the wheat, but now maybe we'll get some more rotations.
Yeah, and there's been some wheat production issues. I know there was quite a bit of freeze damage in southwest Australia, and I did see there was some early snow that hit northern Canada on some of their wheat production up there. So world supply, I think there's, you know, an opportunity, but obviously trade for wheat is a potential issue, not as much as it has been with soybeans, but is something that we definitely need to work out that would help our producers in the long run.
Yeah, if you're going to do wheat, maybe you want to watch the market. When you get and get a spurge up there, you might want to contract somehow.
Yeah, and so that's the main thing is producing enough bushels if you're going to do some acres and looking at some of those mini contracts and trying to lock in a price that you know looks pretty good based on what your input costs are going to be. So I think there's definitely advantage to adding wheat in rotation. A lot of guys are looking at it from distributing workload if it's just them or one other family member farming, but a lot of people are working at, you know, do I need straw? Do I need a place to haul manure? Do I want to put a forage crop if I'm short of pasture land? I can grow a nice forage crop after wheat. So there's a lot of opportunities to increase revenue after that wheat comes out, and that's where a lot of guys are trying to get pencil that out, and things do look a lot better when you add that in on the wheat than just the wheat bushels itself and the wheat price.
Well, you've been talking about some people maybe going into some alfalfa, trying some of that, and over the years that's been pretty good too if you can get it put up.
Yes, yeah. So, you know, overall, the growing season, this past growing season, you know, getting started with harvest, but overall we didn't run into huge issues. We, at least local, we didn't run into any hail issues this year. We did have a little bit of green snap in end of June, beginning of July, but it was a pretty good production year, and I think the USDA numbers for Nebraska definitely reflect that.
Well, at least you're getting some good yields down there, better than the Nebraska Cornhuskers, huh?
That's That's right.
I had to bring that
definitely
up.
Definitely had a rough go so far this year.
Sorry, Nathan. I had to bring that up. Anyway, Nathan, you have a good day, and thanks for joining me. I'll talk to you again maybe a little later this fall.
That sounds great, Chuck.
All right. Thanks, Nathan.
Take
care. That's Nathan Mueller, who's the...